Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I was thinking a while ago when the choir was doing that good special on Lord would like to hear us sing when the bad times are here as well as when the good times are here. And I just kind of thinking a little bit on this portion, very familiar portion of scripture we'll find here in Hebrews chapter 12. I won't go through much of it, maybe about three or four verses. And what we need sometime to keep on going is encouragement. We need to sometime kind of get things in perspective a little bit. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, sometimes there's a little argument about the first verse. Who is it talking about, the cloud of witnesses? Well, we have in chapter 11, we have a tremendous roll call of people that have gone on and served the Lord faithfully and faced all kind of adversaries in doing so. So I think that's primarily it. I wouldn't argue with you. God may let some folks in heaven sit in the grandstands and watch us. I don't know to how much of a degree. That would be. I've often had a little comfort in thinking that maybe my dad, mom, maybe my grandmother or somebody else that in the earlier days saw me when I wasn't doing so good. I'd like for God to let them peek over every now and then when I have a victory down here. And, you know, I don't know if you ever think that way or not. But I do believe that's possible. But here's the description of run the race. And if you're saved, you're still in a race. You're still in a struggle. And then it says, and we get some instruction here. If we're going to finish well, do well. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm glad you don't start anything you don't finish, aren't you? He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. We don't think about this much, but the scripture here says the Lord got joy out of enduring what he did to save us. Look at it. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. By the way, folks, do you know that's where fainting starts? In your mind. It's the truth that if we give up mentally, we give up everywhere else. That's what it boils down to. It says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And that's a real admonition to us. When others have so resisted and bled for it and hurt for it, much more than we today that quit sometimes over just the little things. Compared to what others have endured. I want to talk to you about just a little bit tonight. How do we keep going? Now, in the world today, it's up and down. We see some victories. I think it was a victory here in the last couple of days. I was proud of the president when he took a stand and broke the Iranian deal, which we should have never been in. It was a ridiculous thing to start with. I'm glad he had the courage to do it, but of course, fake media is not going to give him any credit for it. That's for sure. And I'm proud of the news coming out of Korea. I was real proud to see those men come home today. Boy, they've been through it. They've been enduring some stuff. of course, we know the other American that was over there. By the time they got him home, he just got home in time to die. Young man that was so beat up and treated so badly. The world's going to go up and down. The scripture says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And what I'm saying to you on that is that we're going to have some good and bad. And you know what we're guilty of sometimes as God's people? We just talk about the bad and never see the good. Don't we have a song in the songbook that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one? We're weak in that area. We often go to God with a Christmas list. Give me this, give me this, give me this. Instead of going to them with a list saying, thank you for this, and thank you for that, and thank you for all. We're all guilty of that. That's the weakness of the depraved flesh. But bad things do happen to good people, but then we forget good things sometimes happen to us we don't deserve either. And we ought to kind of get that thing in balance a little bit and think on it. And that'll help us. That'll help us really to keep on going and doing right. We've got to be careful that we don't get so used to having everything our way that we can't take it when it don't go our way. And it's not going to always go our way. That's why we ought to have sympathy with other folks and pray for other folks that may be in the fire, because we may get our turn in the fire too. Probably will if you stay here long enough. It's not going to all be good. And so just living the Christian life after we get saved, we need some instruction for it. We need to remind ourselves, or we just get to having our own little pity party and sitting under the juniper tree and complaining instead of counting our blessings. But you know, how do we keep on? Well, there are blessings. We do have good lives. List is long. No, it's not going to go on forever, because death is within our DNA. It's in with our genes. It's going to happen. And sometimes it's going to come quick, like we're telling you about Ed Scarborough passing with a heart attack. You wouldn't have looked at that guy and said that he was a candidate for that. Didn't even hardly look his age. But who knows what's ticking on the inside of me or you? We don't know. And the shock of it will happen sometime. But the truth is, we ought to look on the good side too and thank God. Our blessing list is long, folks. It's really long. So I don't feel so good tonight. You felt good enough to come to church. That's a positive. You'll probably feel better cause you come than if you'd lay at home and goofed off. There's something about the depravity of the flesh. If you don't kind of keep moving it, it gets worse. You know that? I remember, and I joke about this a little bit because I'm there now. But the big black fighter, George Foreman, he was a good Christian man. He really was. And he even started off when he was fighting in the Olympics, when some of the others, was criticizing America. When he won the bout in the Olympics, he got a little American flag, walked around the ring. Anybody remember that? I appreciated him ever since then. And turned out to be a good Christian guy. But as he got older and then tried to go back and fight again, and he did, and I guess he did all right, but he was heavier, he was older, and he was hurting worse. And so if you saw any of his fights, while the other fighter, when the bell would ring, would go sit down in the corner, George would go stand up. And they said, "Why are you standing up, George?" He said, "Because it takes more energy to get up and down." And I sympathized with him then and still do. And I sometimes joked, I said, "I'd rather keep standing. I'm like George Foreman. I don't want to get up and get down again. But I don't want to get out of the battle. I want to stay in it as long as I can and represent the Lord as well as I can." But the truth is, there are blessings, and sometimes we just forget to count them. Think about it with me a minute. A lot of our problems often comes because we make a decision without all the facts. The Bible warns you, Proverbs warns you about just hearing one side of the matter and acting on it. But it takes a little patience sometime and a little wisdom to go ahead and get all your data, get all your information. That's the only way you're going to make a right decision, is to be fully informed. You'll make a wrong decision otherwise. I heard about the lady that kind of a wealthy place, she was feeding steak dinners to some dignitaries, a very royal type guest. And she was having steak, and I'm gonna make some of you hungry now, steak and gravy and mushrooms with it. And just before she served the meal, or shortly before she did, the main cook come to her and said, those mushrooms didn't exactly look right to me. said, I'm not 100% sure they're all right. So it was pretty late to be getting that kind of news. So the hostess said, well, said, feed them to the dog. And then, so she did. And about the time they got through eating, the cook came back in, and the hostess had assumed the dog was all right. But she asked the cook, said, what happened to the dog? She said, oh, he's laying out there side of the road dead. She said, oh, my. So she called them medical people. She got all her guests. She sent them to the hospital. They all had their stomachs pumped out. And finally, the hostess said, you know, I really hate sacrificing my dog. I really hate him dying from those mushrooms. And the cook said, oh, no, that's not what killed him. That truck run over him out there. And he now, you can't make a decision without getting all the facts, getting all the information together. I don't know if that really happened, but I read it for the truth one time. Now, you better make sure you got, like Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story before you make a full decision about things. But counting the blessings is the weakest part. And yet, if we would, it'd help us keep on going and not wanting to throw in the towel and quit so easy. We see the whole picture. Now, there's practical ways that'll help us keep on going. The text says here, consider him, verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now, you may have been treated bad among your friends or your family or your job. In some cases, you may even feel you've been treated bad with God's people. But I want to tell you something, nothing like Jesus. He came unto his own received him not. The very people he was dying for on the cross was mocking him and crucified him. They spit on him. They crowned him with thorns. But what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And the truth is, he received what you and I would not receive, even on the human level. Not to mention the fact that God made his soul an offering for sin. He was mistreated so terribly, and yet it says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He's saying, look at the Lord. Consider him that withstood the contradiction of sinners. You know, the Lord Jesus was treated unjustly. Injustice was done to him. Nothing hurts you and I more than to feel like we got blamed for something we were not guilty of. I've noticed that with kids. I had it happen to me sometime growing up. And it's still going to keep happening because you're in an unjust world, a world the devil has much control over and does bad things. But nothing in the world, and I tell our day school teachers this, and be so sure you're fair. There's nothing in the world will upset kids worse than to feel like somebody else is being treated better than them. That's not fair. Isn't that one of the big words you hear, parents? It's not fair. I used to tell my son growing up, sometime when he'd say, it's not fair, I'd say, it's not a fair world. It's not a fair world. I know nobody likes to hear that, but it's not a fair world. I talk sometime, they certainly, I've never seen a president treated as unfairly as ours. I've never seen the satanic evil and all that that's going on. And I said it Sunday, so I'll just repeat it quickly. In spite of that, God's still giving him some victories. And that is something to take notice of. Because I've said from the very beginning, if he made it at all, it'd have to be because the Lord was using him too. But practical ways, considering the Lord, considering that he went through what he did, the injustice. And then the scripture says we haven't resisted unto blood. In this day and time we're living in now, a lot of God's people are giving up their lives for other than to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've used some stats in some of the sermons. They're really true, really unbelievable things is happening to people on planet Earth right now because they won't deny Christ and they won't confess Muhammad and Allah instead of Jesus. And it's an awful thing that's going on. Now, are they being treated fairly? No. No, the world's not fair, and the devil's not fair. And we need to understand that even then, our battle may not be over in a village about to be raided tonight, and husbands murdered, and wives raped, and babies killed. That's going on in the world, and that's not fair. But you may think, and I can get to thinking, I can get to having my own little private pity party. This ought to happen, that ought to happen. Somebody done wrong here or there. And if we're not careful, the devil just makes that his playhouse. And boy, does he have fun. And yet of all Christian people, we got more comforts than they had in history and they have now in other parts of the world. So we ought to get on that side of the street some and count our blessings and look that way. I'll tell you one of the biggest things will help you from not quitting. That is dying to self. Now that's easy said, hard to do. Dying to self. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about don't think too highly. Scripture gives you this warning not to think too highly of yourself. It's easy to do that. It's easy to do that. I saw in the news, now this is the, I want to say culture, that's not the word for it, the lack of common sense, the lack of fairness and everything else, the lack of the old American way of earning your own way. I saw in the news where some high school somewhere had a whole pile of girls go out for cheerleading. Anybody see that in the news? And one parent complained because their daughter, her daughter, didn't make the grade and was cut from the cheerleading team. So the school comes in and says, everybody makes it now. There's no there's no cutting. Now that's pretty foolish. You're teaching the kid one thing, you don't earn your way, you get it give to you. That's wrong. All sense of achievement is lost in that. It is absolutely crazy. How about if a business puts up a sign, want to hire somebody and 10 people apply? You can't say no to 9 and hire one? It's gone crazy, hasn't it? That's what's moving in. That's the world socialistic viewpoint, stupid stuff that is going on today. But it shows you how man has become so self-centered. And yet, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to learn how to die to self. I don't even like the word. I know you folks with all your little electronic phones and cameras, and I'm sorry, I'm not in that world. I don't even like the word selfie. You know what I'm talking about? This is not a good word. Call it something else. Call it clowning around or whatever else you want to call it. But selfie is just not a good word. We live in such a selfish generation till it's just amazing. It really is. And to die to self. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. That's the only way you can die to self. Somebody is going to mistreat you. Somebody may say something about you that's not true. Somebody may offend you, and here's where you get all twisted up. Think you've been mistreated, and woe is me. And they may not even know they offended you. So it's not hurting them if they don't know it, but hurting you. But if you die to self, you can't hardly hurt a dead man. You know that? I've heard preachers say this. I've probably said it myself. You can roll a casket down here with a dead body in it, and you can come by with the best bourbon that was ever distilled and just put it under his nose and he won't move. If he was hooked on tobacco, you can put a pack of cigarettes under his nose and he won't move. He's dead. In other words, you can't tempt him. He's dead. If we die to self, we'd have a whole lot more peace of mind. Instead of just being so full of self that we're wearing our feelings on our sleeve and so afraid somebody might look at us wrong or say something wrong or not speak to us or something else. So what? Maybe they had something else on their mind. My life don't depend on what somebody else thinks about me. And neither does yours. You may think it does. If that's your goal, popularity, that's a temporary goal. If you don't believe it, look at the has-beens in Hollywood. You ever notice some of those so-called stars later on, just to feed themselves, they're doing a cheap commercial. You know what I'm saying? That's the truth. The applause is temporary. That's what Moses said about sin. He chose the afflictions of God's people rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. Nobody's saying sin's not pleasurable to the flesh, but even that's temporary. They say, and I knew a preacher or two that knew him personally, there's a good chance Elvis Presley was saved, but he sure was not much of a testimony for the Lord. He would tell you quickly that he was saved. However, I've had a lot of folks tell me that and didn't know what they were saying. But he claimed to be saved. And his bodyguard said that when he began to lose his popularity a little bit, when he began to thicken up with weight, when his age began to slip up with him, when he got to where he could go out on the stage and sing the same songs and do all the same gyrations and all the same show, but the audience didn't scream and holler and faint like the stupid little girls did to start with. And they said when that began to happen to Elvis, and this was the bodyguard's testimony, that when he went back behind the curtain, backstage, that he would fall on the floor and pitch a tantrum and kick his feet up and down in the floor and scream and holler and cry because he knew he was losing it. Just like a kid would throw a tantrum. That's what his bodyguards were on record of saying. Well, you know why? Because that was his whole goal. And when he began to lose it, he couldn't live with that. And there's a whole pile of them that fit into that category. They start living off of pills and everything else. You can't measure your life by that junk. You might be popular for a while, and maybe you even earned it, maybe even in the good area that you could be proud of being popular in, but even that's temporary. It's going to fade. It's going to go. You're going to lose it if that's all you're counting on. Personally, I want to count on finishing the race in a way to please the Lord. Not to hide under the juniper tree, not to complain, not to be whining because I lost the election. Now, you don't even know what I said there, but you talk about whining, and that's the best example I can think of right now. And the truth is, I don't want to go out of here whining. I want to face the Lord saying, I done the best I could, Lord. I raced as hard as I could. I stayed long as I could. I endured and I didn't quit. That's what I want to say. And so dying to self is one of the biggest things you can get a hold of, if you can get a hold of that. It is not about you. It is not about me. That's why I'm fuss about y'all on Facebook so much. I don't give a toot if you didn't brush your teeth this morning or what you had for breakfast. Or if you're wearing red or brown socks today, I don't care. I'll tell you something else. I don't want to shock you, but nobody else cares either. But you're going to tell us about it, aren't you? Because you care. Full of self. Amen? All right. So I didn't want to come and feel bad tonight. Well, I am not quite through. You might get worse. No, the truth is, we ought to care about what God cares about. And he's always watching. We're watching to see how somebody else is going to treat us. We better think about who's watching us instead of us watching somebody else. And if we die to self, it'd solve a whole pile of your problems. Teenagers sometimes are bad about, and little girls maybe worse than boys, but boys are into it too. You ever hear green-eyed envy? You ever hear that word? Well, that's real. That's as stupid as it is. That's real. And we ought to be above that as God's people. We ought to be serving a bigger cause, seeing a bigger cause, and caring about how we're doing in a bigger cause. Truth is, we're not the main star. It's not about us. It's about His cause. And that's a big thing. His cause, of course, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ is souls, but it's His whole work. It's winning souls. It's discipling souls. It's sending the missionaries. It's doing all the things we do, keeping His big cause in mind. Little David faced the big giant, but he did it because he understood what the cause was. He said, is there not a cause? And there is a cause, and it's bigger than us, bigger than how we feel about some little something. And we need to get a hold of that. The cause of souls is very, very important. I mentioned tonight on the prayer list, Joy's sister over there in Peru. It made me think of a story of a missionary in Peru. She's over in Lima, but I don't know where this location was. I can't remember, but it was a very backward, poor village in Peru. And missionary got in there and was having services and getting some souls saved. We're talking about where nobody could read hardly, where there's just poverty. Most of them had no education. In fact, when they went to count their sheep or their cows, they couldn't count. But what they would do, they'd take, like if the herd went out that morning to graze, they would take a rock, and for every cow or every sheep, they'd lay down a rock, another rock, another rock. Then when the herd came back in, they'd match one cow, one rock, one sheep, one rock. And if all of a sudden they had a rock left over, meant a sheep or a cow didn't come home, they knew to go after it. And you'd be surprised how much that method has been used through villages and places. But the missionary said that in his efforts, got some of them saved. He said this grandma, older lady, got saved. Said she really got saved and really understood the gospel story. She understood Jesus loved her and died for her and paid for her sins. She even understood He was coming back again. And so after a few days, all of a sudden, one morning, her family gets up and says, Grandma's gone. She's gone. She's not here. What's happened? So they looked and they looked. For about 3 days they looked, and they couldn't find Grandma. They spread out and they went and they looked. Couldn't find her. They were quite concerned, but didn't know what else to do. Then one morning, just about sunrise, somebody hollered, Grandma's coming back. And they looked, and Grandma was slowly walking back over the hill home. Of course, they rushed out to say, where you been, Grandma? What have you been doing? And here was her story, and the missionary told this. He said she did get saved. She understood what Jesus had done. She understood the gospel. She understood He was coming back. And she knew over the mountain was another village. So people over there, she hardly knew, but knew there's some people over there in another village. She told them, she said, I knew y'all thought I was too feeble and too old to go by myself over the mountain to tell the other village about Jesus. But she said, that's what I've been doing. Said, I slipped out and I went over the mountain. This is what the missionary said. She was over there 3 days telling those people about Jesus. So he asked her, basically, did you win any of them to the Lord? And she said, yes. And he said, how many? And he said, here's what she did. Said she reached in her pocket and she pulled out one straw, two straws, three straws, four straws. Every straw represented a soul she had won. That's the way she had to count. He said she had 56 straws. Now, I don't know how many have we won and we can count. We got some education. I wonder how much of my time I've spent on myself when I should have spent on God's cause and reach souls. And if others can do that with the limited knowledge that Grandma had, wow, I hate to face her at the judgment seat with all the opportunities, all the tools that God's given me. You see, when we get our mind off of self, she could have died crossing that mountain. She knew the family wouldn't let her go, but she went, and she was able to do it. The truth of the matter is, when we get self out of the way, even as a church, and I think we're as good a church as you're probably going to find around, but if we could get self out of the way, there's no telling what we could do. What we could do. I'll tell you one thing, we wouldn't be dropping out. We'd be considering Him the author and finisher of our faith, and we'd be looking to Him instead of looking to the contradiction of sinners or who hurt our feelings or what grudge we're holding or something else. We'd get rid of all that stuff if we get our eye on the main thing, amen, His cause. Father, we thank You for the Word. Help us, Lord, not to be quitters, but to look to You. You are the author and finisher. You paid it all. We owe it all to You, Father. I pray You'd help us to be big enough and grow up as Your people. We get our mind off the little side tracks and tricks that the devil pulls on us because we got self in mind. Help us to really, truly die to self that we can get the job done for You. May You bless the choir now as they get ready tonight for Sunday, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a hand.